I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Again, it's good to be here in the house of God and to worship with each of us. I have been impressed with the service thus far this morning, especially the Sunday school and some of the thoughts that were given in the men's class. It was especially interesting to me with what I have chosen to share on this morning. This morning I'd like to, the title of the message is A Cheerful Giver. And this is a suggestion that was handed into one of the ministry quite a while ago that we share a message on giving. And I've been mulling that over in my mind for quite some time. And I felt like maybe this morning was a good time to share this. I want to say that I don't have all the answers this morning, and I guess for myself, as I looked into this and the attitudes behind our giving, I am challenged and convicted in my own life too, in the way I have given and been giving in my life as well. Emphasis on the word cheerful. That's a quote from 2 Corinthians. God loves a cheerful giver. We will be looking at that later on in the message. But I was impressed different times, and we will go through this and see this as we go, that the willingness that people gave in different times in the Bible here, Old Testament and New Testament. And like I said, I don't have all the answers here. I'm still learning. And when I think of some of the times that I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but when the temple fell into disrepair and the people gave and gave and gave, and then I think of the many times, I remember growing up different times, the mission in Belize, they need more money. We're short on funds, and different times, it seems like the various projects in the work of the church, we're always, not always, but different times, we're just running on the edge on funds. And I wonder about mine and our attitude toward giving, if it is what it should be. My first thought was that maybe it's worse in this era and time, but I don't think so. I think greed is a common problem to humanity throughout the ages, and I hadn't thought about it, but it was just mentioned in passing in our Sunday school class. The rich young man, the rich young ruler, he was told to be perfect, to go and give up everything that he had, and he was not able or not willing to do that. And so I think it's a problem, or something that God's people have faced down through time, to give of ourselves the way that we need to. And I want to say that giving is not just giving of our money, and we will get into more of that later. There's other ways that we give of ourselves as well. Couple questions at the beginning here is, first question is, can the child of God not be a giving person? And I will read from 1 John 3:17. It says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Challenge for us. And another thing that I wondered as I started into this message is all the tithes and everything that God required of his people in the Old Testament. Why was that? Why did God need that? God is sufficient without our help, you would think. But I think there is something. If you would look at you know, Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek, he recognized someone superior to him there. And it does something for us to actually give of something that we have, as opposed to just saying it with our lips. It means something more if we are willing to actually put our words to actions. And I think that is partly why this is required of us. Just a couple, there's different words used here, especially in the Old Testament. The word tithes is used, and that is more a gift given to God as a sign of reverence. Mostly, when it talks about tithes, it was given to God, but I mentioned Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek. Also, there's the word alms, and that is more the idea of gifts or money given to those in need, the poor. And the word offerings is also used, and it's more a gift for, like when it's talking about building the tabernacle and rebuilding the temple and stuff, they gave offerings of gifts. Another question, why is it important that we give? And I kind of have been going over that. And part of my thrust in that I feel as I studied this is that the last part of Matthew chapter 10, verse 8 says, "Freely ye have received, freely give." And I think it's very ungrateful if we stop and think about what all that God has given to us, if we just bottle that up and aren't willing to share any of our blessings with any of those around us. I have six reasons here why giving is important. First one I just basically covered, because of all that God has done for us, we should give to others as well. It's a reminder to us that our possessions are not our own, and to keep us from greed of collecting our possessions around us. Number four is I believe giving helps develop a heart of compassion to the needs around us. And number five is God's blessing is on those that give freely. We see that through the scriptures, and also promises that God gives to those that give that they will not be in want. And I know there's lots of stories. I couldn't pull any of them. I couldn't think of any just specific, but I've heard stories of those when they decided to give systematically, how God in very significant ways met their needs. And I want to emphasize needs. Sometimes the things that we think are needs are maybe don't quite fall into that category, but our basic needs, I believe God will meet. Well, I'd like to kind of go through the Bible here and look at some different instances. I want to start in the Old Testament and look at some of the laws and commands that God had here for the Old Testament people, and then for the children of Israel. And I'd like to start the first sacrifice that we see given in the Bible here, Genesis chapter 4. You can turn there. This is when Cain and Abel sacrificed their sacrifice to God. Verse 3 says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." One difference we notice in these offerings here, it doesn't mention in the verses I read, but verse 2, Abel was a shepherd, keeper of sheep, and Cain was a farmer, a crop farmer. And it has been suggested that Cain's offering was not accepted because there was no bloodshed. And I couldn't find anything. It's conjecture. I don't I guess it depends on the type of offering it was. If it was an offering for sin, the New Testament says without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But if this was a tithe, something of giving to God of what they had, it says that Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Abel brought the best of his flock. It doesn't say that about Cain. It just says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. And I don't know if it was grapes that had a little bit of rot on the end of the bunch, but it wasn't. I think there's a difference in attitude here that Abel brought the first and the best willingly, and Cain didn't bring that. And so, you know, to an offering to God, why is it important that we give the best like that? And if it goes again back to our concept of God and what He has done for us, and we think of the greatness of God, and He's the creator of the universe, and all that He has done for us. I mean, He's worthy of nothing less than our best that we can give to Him. And also think of for the sacrifices for covering sins that they gave in the Old Testament. There especially it says the lambs needed to be perfect and without blemish. And a type of Christ being our perfect sacrifice for sins, the lamb could only cover for a year. And I think there's a type there that, you know, a sickly lamb is not a comparison to Christ as our perfect sacrifice that takes away sin for all time. And I think this account here gives some kind of sets some basic principles for what we see going on throughout the Old Testament, how God deserves the best of our worship. So I'd like to look at some more references here. The first one, Genesis 28, verse 22. This is after Jacob had his first encounter with God when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. And in the one verse it says, verse 16, it says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Verse 22 says, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." When Jacob had an encounter with God, when he realized maybe this was a new experience, and he saw God in a way that he had never seen before, that he promised him a tenth of his goods. Now moving on, I have several places to look in the as God was giving the law to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. First reference is Exodus 35. Verses 4 and 5. "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver, brass." It goes on to list a lot of different things that they needed for the for the building of the tabernacle. But notice, it says, "Whoever has a willing heart, bring things to give them to the Lord for the use so God could build a house to dwell among the people there." And it was interesting to me as I studied this, the response of the children of Israel here. The next chapter, verse 36, verse 5. "And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." that just blessed me as I thought of the people giving and giving. And this isn't a problem I've had to deal with really yet, where I had to say, stop, we've brought enough yet. But I was just impressed with their willingness to give as long as the need was, and they had to be stopped. Then Leviticus verse 27, sorry, chapter 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So here is something that they had to give to the Lord, a tithe, probably 10% or a tenth. It's normally what was given here. Also, along with that, go on to Numbers chapter 18. Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. And so, just some groundwork here, that some of the tithes went to help the Levites. It's support for the work of the Lord. The Levites were full-time in the tabernacle, and it was given to support them. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. And so here we have helping the poor. And so these last three references here, especially, I see different needs that came up, different needs that were there. But the need was met. They were to give to those different various needs that were around them. And I'd like to, there's a lot more we could read, and we'll touch on some of this a little later, some things in the Old Testament, but it shows the groundwork of God, what he required of his people in Old Testament times. I'd like to move to the New Testament now and look at some of the New Testament teachings on giving, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Just some teaching on the proper giving of alms. I notice in verse 1, it takes for granted that we are going to be giving alms to the Lord. And it seems that the Pharisees, along with some of their other inconsistencies, they would make a big show out of the way they give, and possibly even sounding a trumpet, as it is mentioned here. But our giving needs to be, I believe, in a quiet way. Just give, not make a deal of it. It mentions, as if we do it for men, that's our reward, not the reward of the blessing of giving. And right along with that thought, I have Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Maybe I'll just read the phrase that applies here. It says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And so I believe our giving ought to be just done quietly, matter-of-factly, not mentioning to others what we happen to put in. Just humbly is with that. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This is good measure, pressed down. Give abundantly, give plenty. And there is a principle here. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but the way we give and treat others is the way that others will want to treat us back in return in our giving. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians now. Chapter 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The first thing needed is a willing mind, a person who is willing and ready to give when a need arises. Go to chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I mentioned a little bit of this before, but there's a natural law here. Of what we sow in our fields, that's what we will reap. We sow in our gardens, that's what we will reap. And as we give bountifully, I believe God will meet our needs bountifully as well in ways that we never thought possible. Again, just touch on, it says, for God loveth a cheerful giver, not giving because we have to, but willingly giving to the needs around us. I'd like to we looked at some things in the Old Testament and some of the examples there. I'd like to look at some New Testament examples here. First example I'd like to look at is of someone who was not a good example of giving. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Start reading at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So here we have a man that should have had plenty to give. He was a man, he had a bumper crop, we might say. His grain yielded well and the prices were high. And what's he going to do with all this? He should have been able to give a lot. But instead he hoarded everything, kept it all for himself, and in the end, he lost everything, even his soul, because he tried to keep it all for himself. And verse 21 has caught my attention before. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Spiritual poverty, because he would not share with others. So I'd like to look at some positive examples now of those that gave in the New Testament. Turn to Mark chapter 12 first. Let's start at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. Then he called unto his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We see here that our attitude in giving goes a long ways. This widow had very little, we would say, and this was right in the temple, and the people, I suppose the rich people were coming in there and making a lot of noise. I read that some of the treasury chests had something kind of shaped like a trumpet, and you could pour your coins in and make a lot of noise, draw a lot of attention. And I can kind of picture this widow kind of sneaking up when nobody's around and dropping these 2 little pennies in and running off quick before anybody could notice how little she gave. But her attitude here, that she gave all that she could, made her money. She had the blessing, and I believe her money, God was able to use it in better ways. I'd like to look at a couple examples from the early church here. Let's go to the book of Acts, go to chapter 4 at first here. Verses 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And so we see the church here meeting the needs around them. And I was impressed that they didn't just give of their increase, they didn't just tithe, you would say. They actually, if there was a big need, they actually sold their possessions to make sure that that the needs were met around them. Go to chapter 11. Verse 29. Let's read verse 28 as well. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we see here the church at Antioch reaching out. The church at Jerusalem was going to be facing some hard times, and so they did what they could to help out the church there. I have to go back to chapter 9. Start reading at verse 36. Maybe I'll just read verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is, by interpretation, is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So giving is not just limited to giving money. But this woman, maybe she didn't have a lot of money, but she did a lot of things for other people. It mentions later that they, in verse 39, it mentions that they, when Peter came, they showed all the garments and the coats that she had made for the widows. So she was, I don't know if, it doesn't say how much money she had or how much well off she was, but she obviously was a good seamstress, and she used her talents for the work of the Lord to help in a way that she could help. And she apparently she looked for opportunities to help where she could. I'd like to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Read the first 5 verses. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of the Lord. The churches in Macedonia that it mentions here were, they were not wealthy churches. They were poor and they were persecuted, but they still, when they heard of the need, they gave as much as they could to help others in need as well, maybe others in worse needs than they were. So we have some good examples here of how people gave of themselves because they felt the need to help each other. I'd like to look a little bit at some improper attitudes toward tithing, improper things about tithing. And I don't want to give the impression, as I have here, if I have, that giving is the most important part of our worship to God. You know, the Pharisees fell into that trap, and Jesus rebukes them different times for tithing exactly, but missing the deeper parts of the law. And I believe that can be a trap that we fall into, that we do things because it can feel good to give and to give a lot, but we but it's from our heart. It has to come from our heart, as I will bring out here. I'd like to look first at 1 Samuel chapter 15, the account of Saul. And I'll just read verse 22. This is after Samuel had commanded Saul to go out and utterly destroy the Amalekites. But they didn't utterly destroy them, and they kept the, Saul says, the people kept of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen. They kept them to sacrifice when God had said to utterly destroy them. And Samuel said, verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, than to hearken than the fat of rams." And so God is looking for obedience in our lives, first of all. Just hold that thought. We'll come back to that a little later. Luke chapter 18. Verse 10 says, "And two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" I'd like to contrast the two attitudes here. The Pharisee obviously felt pretty good about himself. He'd been doing things just right, and he had tithed exactly right, I suppose, and was wearing exactly the right clothes, and on the outside his behavior was just perfect. But notice how far his prayer got. In verse 11, it says he prayed with himself. He was not praying to God. And so his prayer, I believe, didn't get beyond the room that he was standing in. And the publican, I don't know if he was up on his tithing or not, but he obviously had a lot more humility in his heart. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I'd like to go back to turn to Micah chapter 6. Starting at verse 6. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And we can see here the questions, you know, what does it take to satisfy God when we come before him? Lots of burnt offerings, thousands of rams, lots of oil. What does it take to satisfy the Almighty God? Does it take our dearest possessions that we have, our firstborn, our families? What are we willing to give up? What do we have to give up to maintain favor with God? And it's in verse 8, three simple phrases, simple but hard to live out. It says to do justly, to live the way we ought to live right, to treat others right. And it says to love mercy. And do I love mercy? Do I love and appreciate the mercy that God has shown to me? And am I willing to show that mercy? Do I love to show mercy to the people around me? And in showing mercy, be willing to give myself and my time, whatever it takes for the needs around me. And the last phrase is to walk humbly with thy God. And I believe that's God's greatest desire among all this, that we would walk with him. And it's maybe one thing to walk, but to walk humbly. Humility is not an easy part of our lives many times. And it, you know, if we are not humble, it's not going to be easy to show mercy to those around us as God has shown us mercy. And so I believe that is God's greatest desire, that we walk beside him and we humbly see ourselves as we should before God for what he has done for us. And I believe then that as we walk humbly and see ourselves in the light of God's word and what God has done for us, then giving will willingly come out of our hearts, that we will be glad to share God's word with others and share the things that God has given to us with those around us as we walk each day. I'd like to just look at some practical things about giving today. Just some thoughts that I had on giving. And like I said, I don't have all the yeses and nos and all the answers here. I remember being a young farmer in Oregon and just getting started, and we had a couple years where the crops, their prices weren't as good as sometimes, and I don't remember if it was conversation I had with some people or hearing a message or what it was, but I remember thinking about giving, and when there's lots of things you think you need, and you know, how much do you give here, and put off a purchase if that's what it takes, and some of that's still things that I grapple with a little bit sometimes. And I remember thinking it would just be nice to be in a position where I could just give a lot, you know, say give $5,000 for Bibles in China or something. I just wish that. And a couple years later, I things were a little better. And what did I do? I went and bought a sprayer. And I don't necessarily feel real guilty for that. Maybe I should, but it was a need that I had. But I was impressed that how quickly we forget. It you know, it feels good to think about it. You know, I'd like to give this amount of money, but when it comes right down to it, it's so easy to forget the important things like that. And I'd like to say, and I've mentioned this, that giving is a lot more than just putting money in the offering basket. Giving takes time. Means giving time for other people. And a trap that I have tended to fall into is thinking that I have done my share. I put a check in the offering on Sunday, and there I've gave. And I'm busy, and I'm rushing around, and I'm doing this and that, and I'm not taking time for someone that really what they need is somebody to spend some time with them. And maybe our family suffers because we're rushing around. And so I think that time and giving of our time is a very important part as well. And for some reason, I didn't think about it much when I was studying, but giving of an extended term of service on the mission field is a blessing as well to us. Romans 12, verse 1 tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And, some of us, we are called to be at different places, different things. And if we are called to just be here, and we say at home in the church, and how about giving of our time in prayer for the needs? We hear of a lot of needs in other, maybe it's needs in our own church, needs in other churches, needs in the mission field. But how about giving extra time in prayer for the needs around us? And that's something that very likely no one will ever see. But I believe, first of all, it'd be a benefit to us, and it'd be a great benefit for the work of the church. And how much should we give? How much should I give? I don't really have the answer to that, but I would say as the Lord has blessed us, the Old Testament, they gave a tenth. Is that what we go by today? Is that good enough? I believe that's a good place to start, but I believe if you look at the early church and the teachings of the New Testament, that it is we give to fill, to take care of the needs, not just a percentage. And I just want to bring in two on, this isn't really on stewardship, but we are stewards of what God has done for us and given us these things, these possessions. And to be a good steward, I think it is good we put some thought into our giving. Give wisely. Think about what the offering is for, what the need is. Think about if you're sending it somewhere else. Think about the need there. Pray about it. I believe it's important to put some thought into our into our giving as well. So, looking at giving, it's a challenge for me to see myself where I need to and to be willing to give to others as God has shared and given to me. Let's kneel for prayer.